Good afternoon, good morning. Welcome, everybody. I hope you can still hear me.
Yes, we can hear
Yeah.
you, Lily.
Okay, so I think my video is what is causing the problem. Welcome once again to this webinar this afternoon, where I am seated in Eastern Africa, and we shall be looking at this from a theme of expanded HIV prevention options, spotlight on HIV prevention technologies. And we shall be speaking specifically to about three new tools that we have. We shall be looking at dapivirine vaginal ring, cabotegravir, and LEN. And we are happy that we shall be having people who will be taking us through to dig deep into this. But this webinar is premised on the fact that, again, we are at times when HIV prevention is going through a rut, especially in the region where we are. But during this webinar, we want to give it a feminist lens and a community-driven lens. And we shall be hearing from World Health Organization with excitement. They released new recommendations on the use of injectable lenacapavir, which is the lenacapavir. And of course, we shall also be hearing from the Global Fund that recently announced that they have signed access agreement with Gilead on procuring LEN. But also in 2024, we were excited to hear Global Fund commit to procuring dapivirine vaginal ring. So we shall be looking at all those, and therefore we shall hear their perspectives. But also, we are speaking and we are having this webinar at a time when we've had the UNAIDS global report, which also raises some gray hair that will help us to see where are we in terms of the global response. Where do we want to move, especially with also the limited and reduced funding? And to help us get into this webinar, I'll be co-chairing this with Dr. Lilian Benjamin, who is the executive director for their organization in Tanzania. And she will help us to set the scene as we move into this conversation. And we shall also hear from Michelle, who works with the World Health Organization to take us more into understanding the new guidance that we have around LEN. We shall hear from Leonard, who works with Population Council, formerly with IPM, and will talk to us more around the dapivirine vaginal ring. But we shall also hear from Shannon, taking us through what commitments we are hearing from donors. And we shall hear from a feminist, Raphael Yvette. And lastly, but not least, we shall have a young person also share their perspectives on how they see prevention, how they see us engaging with them, but also taking the agenda forward. And we are happy that as we take on this webinar, we are already registering a number of you. Thank you very much for joining us. And we are also happy and would like to appreciate the support of our funders, AIDS Funds, and ViV Healthcare that are enabling us to have this webinar. So without taking much time, I would like to now hand it over to Dr. Lilian to help us set the scene and lead us into the conversation. Over to you, Dr. Lillian.
Thank you so much, Lillian, for getting us to start this webinar and for everybody for actually making time to be a part of this discussion. I'll be very brief as we transition to hearing directly from our esteemed speakers for the day. A lot has been happening in terms of the overall HIV response and global health at large. On the positive side, specifically on HIV prevention, we have seen lots of new HIV prevention technologies paving way, especially most expansion of choice. We have seen more long-acting options coming to life at country levels. We have seen how some countries have been, leading in the way that we are preparing an environment to accept and accommodate these new prevention technologies, especially long-acting pre-exposure prophylaxis options, to make sure that they're accessible to the communities. We acknowledge some of the approvals that have been done at country levels, but also some guidelines that are being developed or reviewed to ensure that they're able to accommodate these new tools. The ongoing research to further find other innovations that can actually make our response to HIV and integrated sexual reproductive health, generally in terms of prevention, a lot easier and accessible and more community friendly. But on the contrary, we can't deny the fact that the last 7, 8 months have been quite, there's been a lot of unrest in terms of how are we going to work around access to communities, especially communities who need them the most? We have had a lot of conversations juggling up and down in terms of how are we going to mobilize resources to ensure that communities are not disrupted with these services, which is already kind of late because we have seen disruptions happening with an ongoing funding cuts. But also we have seen how community, even existing community prevention services and delivery modalities have been affected. And most importantly to me would be how also community engagement has been shaken. However, we still hold on and continue. There's been a lot of reorganizing happening at country levels, at community levels, at global levels as well, and lots of conversations ongoing in terms of sustainability, community ownership, and I think most importantly, we need to have discussions on how we're going to make sure that we maintain access for communities when it comes to these long-acting options. And making sure that all the efforts and gains that we have had over the years in terms of prevention and controlling HIV infections, especially in the communities, now that is at stake, what else do we do? How do we come together to make sure that we are able to stand solid and together and move forward and make sure that we are able to still provide communities and meet the needs of the communities, regardless of what situations we are in? And to help us unpack, we're going to begin off with our first speaker who will help us unpack the current WHO's guidance on these new long-acting technologies, more specifically Lena Carpenter, and what WHO also guides us in terms of PrEP for PrEP choice in our programming, policies, but also community involvement. And with that, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our colleague from WHO, Michelle Rodolphe, to share with us and, enlighten us in terms of what we need to know and how we can use that information to help us move forward. Thank you so much, Michelle. I see you and welcome.
Lillian, you have the most beautiful smile. That was such a lovely
Welcome.
introduction. I think you want me to share my screen. Is that right?
Sure, you may.
Okay, great. So thank you to ICW East Africa for this opportunity. Just bear with me. I'm just having some computer problems. Let's see. Hold on. Bear with me. I'm just having a small computer problem here. While I pull together my screen, Lillian, if you or Adela can share my screen, that might be easier. Just because there's something going on with the size of my screen here.
I'm gonna
Do you
try on my
have?
Ada, please do as well. Just a moment.
Let me try my best.
Okay.
Sorry about that. This is
We totally
yeah.
understand. Don't worry.
Yeah, I am really sorry. So why don't while you're do, so you can if you can do that, then I can just get started. Yeah?
Yeah, please go
Okay.
ahead.
So it's the same presentation I sent you earlier. So okay. So I'm just going to speak to my slides while we get going. And I think really what I can just start doing is so on July 14th, I had the privilege to share the oh, perfect. Great. On July 14th at IAS, WHO launched the new guidance on lenacapavir, but also on providing simplified testing for long-acting injectable PrEP. So next slide, please. And then also, if you can put this in full screen mode, it might be better for those in the call. Great. So WHO recommends I mean, WHO currently recommends four, this slide should say four products for use as PrEP. Four products for use as PrEP. Oral PrEP containing TDF, the dapivirine vaginal ring, which Leonard Sohle will speak to later, long-acting injectable cabotegravir, which someone else will speak to later, and long-acting injectable lenacapavir. And I want to emphasize here that WHO recommends that as part of comprehensive HIV, this is all as part of comprehensive HIV prevention approaches based on evidence for effectiveness, safety, and community values and preferences. Next slide. So the next slide, which you can see coming on the left, and thank you in advance to who's ever moving the slides. But, oh, so the next slide is, was that you, Lillian, sharing the slides?
I
Or
think it was
Adela?
that. Yes.
Okay. So let me see. Oh, here it comes again. Great.
Yeah.
So basically, just to jump to it, so we're going to go to slide number three. And so WHO has launched two new recommendations. The first one is that long-acting injectable lenacapavir should be offered as an additional prevention choice for people at risk of HIV as part of combination preventions. And the other recommendation, which I'm not going to get into details in this presentation, but you're free to reach out to me for additional slides or information, is that we also recommend rapid diagnostic tests may be used for HIV testing for initiation, continuation, and discontinuation of long-acting injectable PrEP. And really, this was a really important recommendation because when we launched long-acting injectable CAB, there were a number of countries that were unclear what testing algorithm to use. So WHO did an extensive review to compare the different testing strategies out there and to see what will be the most efficient, cost-effective, and user-friendly testing product. And that's rapid diagnostic tests, which are part of the national algorithm. And probably all of, if this is for East and Southern Africa, for all of your countries. So the next slide, please. So the next slide is about the dosing for lenacapavir. So lenacapavir requires a subcutaneous injection every 6 months. So just for comparison, the DMPA, the dapivirine shot, was previously is given intramuscularly like cabotegravir, but there's also a subcutaneous injection for dapivirine as it is for insulin. So that's under the skin in the fatty layer, and this is to be repeated every 26 weeks with a range of plus or minus 2 weeks. There's also an oral loading dose. Now, this is not an optional loading dose. This is part of the regimen in order to reach target levels for protection within the first 3 to 24 hours. So that's two tablets on day one and two tablets on day two. By taking the two tablets on day one and on day two, you get the first, you reach target levels for protection rapidly. However, if you don't take those pills, it will take around 3 to 4 weeks for the injection alone to protect an individual from acquiring HIV. So I'm emphasizing this to emphasize the importance of taking those tablets. Next slide, please.